Welcome to Sex with Timmery, frank, occasionally explicit edutainment on the most important topic of all. Sex with Timmery is not intended for children and is not safe for work unless your boss is particularly awesome. See more at sexwithtimmery.com. Welcome back to Sex with Timmery, and we are talking to Juicy Justine from juicyjustine.com. One of the things that Juicy Justine is an expert in is pleasure. So, Justine, what do people need to know about pleasure?
A lot of people simply need permission to have it. A lot of people are afraid. They're like shamed about wanting to experience pleasure. Things like oral sex and how it's still such a taboo even in today's society. Tonight I'm actually teaching a workshop on how to please women, and we're going to be talking all about cunnilingus and the G-spot and fabulous things like that. A lot of people need to know just basic anatomy, where things are, like the G-spot, how to find it, how to pleasure it, how to stimulate it, things like that. See, the G-spot isn't necessarily a spot. It's not, like, right there. Everyone has that area, obviously, or women at least, and it's located in about the same spot in most women, so it's about 2 to 3 inches inside the vagina and up toward the belly button. The thing about it is some women enjoy the stimulation they get from the G-spot. Other women hate it. They think it's uncomfortable. They think it's painful. For a lot of women, as soon as you stimulate the G-spot, it's going to make you feel like you have to pee. And that's just because the tissue in that area is swelling. It's pressing up against the bladder. It's making you feel like you have to go to the bathroom. However, once you get that feeling, just go with it. You're not going to pee. If you're afraid you're going to pee, just go to the bathroom beforehand and empty your bladder. You'll have nothing to worry about. But if you keep stimulating that area, it's going to feel fantastic. For most women, not all.
So how do you tell women to stimulate it? Like, what sort of angles do you suggest? What sort of objects? What kind of pressure?
Well, most women can't stimulate their own G-spot with their fingers. A lot of women can't reach it. Some women have to, like, squat down in order to reach it if they can. So usually you need some sort of sex toy, like we were talking about earlier. Usually any G-spot toy is going to have a curve at the end. Light pressure. You have to constantly either be communicating with your partner or just paying attention to your own body and what's going on. Do you like the sensation? Do you want more of it? Is it painful for you? Communicate with your partner. I need more pressure. I need less pressure. Really, it's different for everyone.
So what are some positions that would be used to facilitate this for partner sex?
Doggy style is definitely an easy position to hit it in. If you put a pillow underneath your abdomen, it's going to be even better. Anything where your legs are further back, you're more likely to hit the G-spot. So if you're like in a missionary and your legs are over someone's shoulders, you're more likely to stimulate the G-spot that way as well.
Very good point. And so do you have any suggestions for people who have any mobility issues?
There's this fantastic tool. It's called the Intimate Rider. It's this little like rocking thing. You lay on it and there's this chair in front of it. You gotta look it up. You're not gonna understand what I'm talking about unless you can see it. But it's fabulous and it's great for people who have limited mobility. Otherwise, just lots and lots of pillows. Make sure you're comfortable. Try it in different places. So on the couch, on the table, whatever works for you.
So speaking of pleasure and permission to feel pleasure, who has the hardest time with feeling okay about it?
Women have a hard time giving themselves permission to experience pleasure. Part of it is their whole lives they've been told, oh, don't touch down there, don't look at it. When I'm teaching my medical students, actually, we talk for a while about how most women have never seen their own vulvas. And so we encourage our medical students to incorporate mirrors into their pelvic exams so that they can actually show their patients what is down there and what they're looking at and explain what the different parts of it are. You know, show them where their clitoris is and things like that. But women definitely have the most difficult time with it.
Very solid point. I definitely think that there's a difficulty where in society we still see women's sexuality as a tool to reciprocate for men's sexuality. For instance, there's a lot of people who still hold the belief that women use sex to get love and men use love to get sex because those are their actual motivations. And there are perfectly smart people who believe that. So what do we do about that? How do we change those gender norms?
Well, one thing women can do is stop faking orgasm. Seriously, it's not helping anyone because men think that they're doing this amazing job when really, like, all they need to do is move a little to the left. So rather than fake an orgasm, just be like, hey, honey, can you move a little to the left?
I think when talking about sex toys, some men feel a little bit of ambivalence in terms of both utilizing sex toys to please their partners, because that's something that is very much valued by them, but also a degree of intimidation, because there's so much pressure to succeed and perform and reach a goal. And while this tool can help them do that, and they can feel a great deal of success because this tool was able to help them, they also feel a little bit of intimidation because they may not feel like it's organically coming from them. But the problem there is, like, it becomes so goal-oriented and focused on the responsibility of both partners that somebody's trying to get somebody off and the other person has to show how good they are at getting them off, that it takes the fun and the adventure and the just enjoyment of doing this thing together out of it. And the problem with goal-oriented sexuality, aside from that, it leads to dysfunction because you feel so much pressure, and it drives couples into ruts because they only stick with what they know will definitely work, and they stop just exploring and having fun. So does this come up when you're talking to people?
Absolutely. You have to sit back, you have to relax, and just enjoy yourself. Go with the flow. I teach a sex positions class, and I talk in the beginning about how most couples get stuck using the same three positions. What three positions do you think those are?
I would guess missionary, doggy style, and cowgirl.
Cowgirl, yep. Most people, because those three positions just work for them. So they'll do the same ones over and over. But really, what you need to do is explore and try new things and go with it. If it works, keep doing it, but also try other things as well. If it doesn't quite work for you, usually I tell people, give it three shots. If it doesn't work after three shots, probably not going to work at all. But definitely try new things and mix it up and just enjoy yourselves. Don't aim for that goal, because once you get there, you're just gonna want it again.
And then there's the whole, what if we try this crazy new sex position and it's got to have a name because Cosmo gave it a name, so we're gonna try that. Or you just randomly end up in a position, you're sort of balled up at the corner of the bed or the foot of the stairs or whatever. And I think some people are afraid that if they try these things out and they actually stick with them or, like, experiment, that at some point maybe somebody's not really gonna like it and they're not really gonna communicate it, and then it's gonna kill the mood and everything's gonna be ruined forever. So they go to the old standby positions that have always worked. So they can get the A+, even though, you know, there might be something beyond an A+ that they don't even know about. But they're worried that if they don't get the solid, consistent performance every time, that somehow that's going to be saying something bad about their relationship or about their identity as a sexual being. And it stops being the fun adventure, when I personally believe that sex should always be fun adventure, where you learn new stuff and are just going for having a good time, not necessarily reaching a benchmark.
Absolutely. And you have to be able to communicate with your partner. Just because this one position didn't work or this one thing you tried didn't work doesn't mean that you're gonna have bad sex forever. It means you have to talk to your partner. If your partner is, like, going in and you need them to move a little to the left, you just gotta be able to tell your partner, hey, move a little to the left. Or some women are afraid, like, when they're having sex and they're not enjoying it for whatever reason, they're afraid of telling their partner that. So usually what I tell women in my workshops, and men as well, same thing is true. If you're not enjoying something and you're afraid to tell your partner, rather than saying, hey, honey, you suck, be like, hey, can we try this instead? So I'll give you an example. You're having sex doggy style and your partner's just going in and it's hitting a little too deep and it's uncomfortable for you. So rather than saying, honey, you suck, you're hurting me, which I encourage you to say, but if you're not comfortable doing that, say, hey, why don't we try sex in this position? And you just kind of roll over and get into a new position and start going at it that way.
there's a lot of fear of being deficient and not good enough. And I think it's definitely derived from these schemas of good sexual performance and the idea of what is like proper sexual behavior. And it's informed by like snippets of sex scenes from movies and TV. And it's totally unrealistic, like sex without any foreplay. And they just are really mad at each other from a fight. And then bam, they're banging and angry sex. And like sex starts at point A and goes to point B. And there's never any points of awkwardness. Nobody ever has to go to the bathroom. Nobody, ow, you're on my hair. None of that ever happens. And it's completely unrealistic, and the awkwardness of being an actual human isn't there, and so, you know, we've just, like, ruined it all because we're actual people in real life, and it doesn't look like it does in the movies. And so, because it's not normal to see real sex represented in media, we have no idea that we're all totally fine, and we're not the huge messes that we're afraid that we are.
People freak out when they're having sex and they hit an air pocket and you make a noise. Like, sex is noisy, it's loud, it's sweaty, it's dirty, and it's nice. It's fabulous.
The word dirty is perfect because sexuality is, it's very dirty, and it's sweaty, and it's messy, and it's wet, and you might end up on the floor, or, you know, there's, you know, your clothes are ruined, whatever. And if you're doing it right, yeah, it does end up a little bit dirty. Plus, there's the moral idea of dirty, like sex is dirty and bad, and you should save it for someone you love.
And we love it.
We're going to switch up entirely. One of the things that you are, I think, a good expert in is sex toys.
I know a few things about sex toys.
You know a thing or two? All right. Give me a rundown of some of the new stuff people can look forward to.
There's all kinds of fantastic new things. Things made of different materials. Like, you can get a steel dildo now.
What?
You can get things that you can wear internally during sex. You can get things that you can use with your partner. You can get things that are, you know, oldies but goodies, like the Hitachi Magic Wand.
Oldie but goodie, classic.
Classic. I remember I found one, you know, when I was very young, had no idea what it was, in a relative's drawer. When I was little, I was probably like 6 or 7 years old. Oh, yeah, it's a back massager. Sure, that's a back massager in your drawer.
Do you think anybody actually orders those things for that purpose? Like,
actually, I do know someone that ordered one from me specifically for back massages.
That's amazing. I mean,
and I'm convinced, because I know the person very well, that they were only using it for back massages.
That's kind of amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Okay. You said some items that can be worn internally. What are examples of that?
The Wii Vibe. Fabulous new product. It's a little purple thing. You wear it. Mm. Yep. It looks like a little, like a U-shaped.
It's like a little horseshoe.
Yeah. You put it internally, so one side of it would be inside, pressing up inside against the G-spot, while the other side is sitting on the clitoris, and it vibrates, and the new one has a bunch of different speeds and settings, and it's fabulous.
Now, I haven't tried out the newest one, but I actually got one of the original ones,
mm-hmm.
And I was, like, not impressed.
Some people love them, some people hate them.
I guess that's
it's the
truth
same
about
every sex toy.
That's true. You gotta find what you particularly like. Which is why I think people should try out a variety and not be scared mm-hmm. to try something new and maybe not like it. The difficulty is, like, so many sex toys are really expensive, and so it's a little cost prohibitive to really experiment. What do you recommend in price conscious sex toy buying with our current economic state?
Well, actually, this probably isn't the answer you're looking for, but there's a product line out there called Lilo, which is pricey. However, they have a 10-year warranty on their toys. So if you think about it, if you're buying one toy now that is fabulous, and I can totally vouch for the fabulousness of all of their products, if it breaks, you clean it, you seal it in a plastic bag, you send it in, and they'll, you know, either fix it or send you a new one. So toy's gonna last you 10 years, totally cost effective. It's made of great materials. Most of them are rechargeable if they vibrate. There's a few that they don't vibrate, so obviously no charging for it. There's one you can even charge in your computer through the USB. It looks like a USB flash drive when you have it plugged in. Fabulous products. And you know, if you think about it, you're not buying batteries, and you know, 10 years?
Yeah, batteries add up really quickly.
Mm-hmm.
I want to recommend to people to take the batteries out between uses.
Absolutely.
It's like the most... It's the hugest difference that you can make in the battery life. Like, just when you're done with a toy, just pop them out, pop them back in when you need them again, and they last exponentially longer. And aside from that, there's, of course, rechargeable batteries, etc. So definitely put that out there. There's also, for a lot of people, again, cost-prohibitive toys, there's a lot of do-it-yourself options, especially for men. There's a lot of make-your-own... like sleeve type mm-hmm. implements. Are you familiar with these?
Yeah.
I assume.
You can use like sponges and you stick them in like a big soda cup like you'd get at the movie theater and you put lots of lube in there and you got the two sponges in there, dousa with lube, you've got yourself a nice masturbation sleeve.
I've definitely seen Pringles cans converted into fleshlight like devices.
Yep.
Things of that nature. So anyone that has any engineering skills, you know, DIY sex toys, look it up.
Fruits and veggies, also fabulous sex toys. Cover them up with condom or...
Probably one-time use, I assume?
Yeah, well, it depends on how often you intend to use it. You probably use it a couple times over the course of a couple days before it rots out.
Okay, now I'm confused.
Like a cucumber. You cover it up with a condom, you can probably keep it and use it for a day or two.
Okay, I suppose, yeah. I would be a little nervous that, like...
And then you peel it up and put it in your salad. Or maybe not.
Well, I mean, that's much greener than just throwing it away. So, you know, I'm not going to...
Compost it, at the very least.
So, somebody who's looking at sex toys for the very first time, like, what are the best ways to introduce someone to, you know, just the litany of options?
Go to a sex-positive sex toy store or look online and see what the different options are out there. I think a good toy for a first-timer who's never had a toy, if they want something that vibrates, would be something like a small bullet vibrator or egg vibrator. Personally, I prefer the ones with the remote control that have AA batteries opposed to the watch battery ones. I find that the little bullets with watch batteries break so easily. And seriously, who has extra watch batteries laying around the house?
That is a damn good question.
And as soon as it dies, you are going to be one miserable person. Men can use them. Women can use them. They're just fabulous toys.
And so they're cheap. I'm going to ask the question that a lot of men are thinking. How does a man use a bullet vibrator?
Put it on your cock. Put it on your balls. Put it on your perineum, which is that spot between the testicles and the anus. Put it on your nipples. Things like that. Do not ever insert a small bullet vibrator in the anus, please. Otherwise, my med students are going to bring me an x-ray with a sex toy stuck up your ass, and we're going to laugh at you.
Yes, this is definitely always a good reminder. Put nothing in your butt that doesn't have a way to be retrieved. Like a thick...
A flared base.
Yeah, flared base, like a butt plug, or a long, very well-attached string on the end, like Benoit balls, not Benoit balls.
No, no Benoit balls.
Anal beads. What am I even talking about?
Yes, anal beads.
Anal beads.
And the thing about anal beads is I prefer the ones that are actually like silicone all the way around as opposed to the ones with the string in between, because that string can really harbor bacteria and it's not so sexy when you get bacteria in your body.
Yeah, you don't want none of that.
Not easy to clean.
When you're talking to people about sex toys, safety obviously comes up. What are important things to know about safety and sex toys?
Make sure you're cleaning your toys well. So it depends on the material that the toys are made of. There's two major kinds of toys out there. There's toys that are porous, which have holes that can harbor different types of bacteria in them. They can never really fully get clean. That would be like rubber, jelly, things like that. And then there are non-porous toys. So that would be 100% silicone, steel, glass, things like that, which you're never going to get anything in there unless there's some sort of little crack in the toy. So if you have, usually I recommend non-porous toys to people. I generally will never recommend jelly toys or anything like that. There's other safety concerns with them. But with non-porous toys, you can usually use a bleach solution, so 10% bleach. You just have to make sure that you throw your bleach solution out after 24 hours. You can use soap and water to clean a glass toy. If it's non-vibrating and it has no motors or electrical parts in it, you can usually put them in the dishwasher, top shelf, no soap. glass toys, steel toys, 100% silicone, non-vibrating toys. You can also boil. So great ways to clean your toys. The thing about non-porous toys and soft plastic toys is a lot of them contain phthalates, which are toxic chemicals. It's a toxic plastic softener. Some of you might have seen a few years ago when they recalled children's toys and pacifiers and things like that because they found phthalates in them. Same concept in sex toys. Sex toys are not regulated. So basically, a sex toy manufacturer can put anything they want in a sex toy, and it doesn't matter whether it's good for your body or not, because it's not regulated by the FDA.
Where do you point people so that they can figure out whether a toy is going to be safe for them or not?
Go for a good product line that you know and trust or is highly recommended. Lilo is a fantastic one. Fun Factory, Enjoy, all great product lines out there that have safe toys. You want to look out for anything that doesn't tell you what the ingredients are. You want to look for 100% silicone or medical grade silicone. You want to avoid anything that could have phthalates in it, so look for toys that specifically say they're phthalate-free, things like that.
Fantastic. What do you tell people about looking for lube?
Lube. So there's really five kinds of lubes on the market. You've got water-based, silicone, oil-based, flavored, and then warming and things like that. So oil-based should only ever be used for solo male masturbation that does not intend to end in any sort of penetration. The reason for that is because the oil in the oil-based lubricant will break down any sort of condoms. It'll also irritate anything internally, whether it's the anus, the mouth, the vagina, things like that. So oil-based male masturbation only. Flavored, fantastic for oral sex. You want to try to avoid getting it internally because it can irritate. It can interact with the bacteria inside the vagina and trigger yeast infections, not necessarily cause them, but yeast likes sugar. So if there's lots of sugar in your lubricant, it can trigger a yeast infection or just disrupt the pH of the vagina. So flavored lubricant, great for oral sex. You don't want to use it internally. Silicone is waterproof, so you can use it in the shower, you can use it in the hot tub. It's pretty hard to clean off. They've been saying for years that silicone is the best for anal sex, but there's also been some research recently on using lubricants for anal sex, so that's something we could talk about for hours. We're going to save it for another time. And then there's water-based. Water-based lubricant is great to use for anything. You can use it with your sex toys. You can use it internally. You don't have to worry about it breaking down sex toys. Silicone lube can't be used with silicone sex toys. So if you have a silicone sex toy, you have to use water-based lubricant. The thing about water-based lubricant is you want to make sure that the first ingredient is actually water. Most people don't realize that. You also want to check and see what ingredients are in your lubricant. Just like sex toys, lubricants are not regulated, so lube companies can really put whatever they want in your lube. In a lot of lubes, you'll find the same products that you would find in motor oil for your car.
Oh, sweet Jesus.
And I don't know about you, but I don't want motor oil in my vagina. So I pick out lots of organic and all-natural lubricants. Two of them that I really like, one is Slickwood Organics, and the other one is Good Clean Love. Both organic, vegan, all-natural, great for your body. So you don't have to worry about any of those toxic ingredients.
It seems like there's a lot of misconceptions and mythology around sex toys, lubes, all of these things that are probably very prevalent. Are there any other misconceptions you wanna mention that we haven't already?
A lot of people are afraid of sex toys and bringing them into their relationship. A lot of men get jealous of toys. The thing is, men, a toy can never replace you. Toys can't touch and snuggle and be intimate with you. I'm sure one day they will. Right now, to my knowledge, you don't have to worry about that. But bringing a toy into a relationship could really be a lot of fun. It can really help enhance your relationship.
All right. Well, thanks very much to Juicy Justine from juicyjustine.com for coming in today. And to let y'all know, she's available for workshops or any other educational interventions that you might need about sexuality. So hit her up, juicyjustine.com, and you just might learn a thing or 20. So thank you very much, Juicy Justine. And thank you, all of you, for listening. Thank you for listening to Sex with Timory. Please check out more from sexwithtimory.com, where Monday through Friday there's new content, including polls, weekly sex columns, and Friday sex links. And if you have any questions, comments, or violent reactions, please email them to sexwithtimory@gmail.com. That's sexwithtimare@gmail.com. And thank you.